Seasons of Stories, Winter, recorded at Epe Centre for the Arts. Written and narrated by Martin Maudsley and Sarah Acton, with extra bits by me, Tom Hughes.
Winter can be bleak and beautiful all at once.
The colours in nature fade into shades of browns and greens to greys. The once bountiful food supplies dwindle and a sense of quietness spreads across the land.
Winter for many is a time to slow down, conserve energy and plan for spring's arrival. But if we look closely, we see buds on trees slowly begin to swell and the first roots of snowdrops and bluebells take hold in the moist soil.
Worms travel deeper in the warmth of the soil. Mammals snuggle together and birds migrate. People behave in much the same way as nature, hunkering down in our homes, facing sunlit windows and gathering together to celebrate festivities, while some head abroad for a dose of winter sunshine.
Chilly evenings that are overlooked by the brightest of starlit skies make way for crisp mornings blanketed in a glistening white frost.
When we take time to notice, there's a lot to rejoice in winter, and everything around us seems to know that the world is turning and that springtime is sure to come again soon. On St. Martin's Day, winter's on its way.
Winter comes. Fields clothed in mist. Soon the storms their dark days bring, and spring will come.
When is it winter for you?
Well, definitely when you've got a wrap-up warmer to go out, especially if there's a nice breeze.
Long darkness, winter. Slippery paths, winter. Grey descends, winter. Low sun squints, winter. Count the dead, winter. Elders remember, winter. Meet me if you dare, winter. Bang the drum, winter. Light the fire, winter. Story the night, winter. Sing out loud, winter. Outlast winter.
Putting the clocks back signifies dark evenings and chilly mornings.
Returns.
The winter solstice is midnight on the seasonal clock, when the solar year is reset. It marks not only the longest night, but also when the sun's journey begins again. From this point onwards, the daylight gets longer.
Old wolf, who wakes before dawn, follows the night, finds footprints of what? Beyond the town, somewhere, slips into another being, precious with fur and musk and hunger. Out of sight, what do you become?
If winter was a wild animal, what might it be?
A polar bear, I guess. Kind of.
Teddy bear.
Well, I reckon a wolf or a big black dog, like a hound.
A full moon in December was named the Moon of Long Nights. A full moon in January was called a wolf moon. A full moon in February was known as a hunger moon.
Frost.
Frost comes. The evening quiet, the dusk arrives, heralds long retreating. For love of light, the red fruit path is afternoon's very sweetening. the star cold night, is mirror bright, enters without knocking.
Winter treasure. One white winter, a poor man had to leave his house to find firewood to keep his family warm. Slowly, he ploughed his way through the deep snow until he came to a woodland of tangled trees. There he was able to trim some of the dead branches with his trusty, long-handled axe. By the time he'd gathered a big bundle of sticks to take home, he was utterly frozen to the bone. So he decided to build a little fire before the long, cold trek home again. Soon the dry wood was beginning to snap and crackle, the fiery flames bringing both warmth and good cheer. As the fire melted a circle in the snow, the poor man saw something glinting on the ground in the flickering light. A golden key. "Where there's a key," he said, "there's a keyhole." So he began to clear the snow with his boots and then prod the ground with his axe. Sure enough, the blade hit something else beneath the surface of the soil. Digging carefully, he unearthed a small iron chest. The man twisted the key in the lock and the lid sprang open. And what treasure he found inside that box, you'll have to imagine for yourself.
A riddle. I've got six arms, can swallow whole farms, yet it takes millions of me to make a man. What am I? A snowflake.
Old folklore says that when it snows, old Mother Frost is shaking her feather pillows.
What's your favourite winter warmer?
Oh, definitely make a nice fresh soup. Lentils with leeks and potatoes.
I think the best thing in wintertime when you're feeling really cold is a nice hot chocolate, because it really warms you up to your very core.
Pasta bake.
Pasta bake, yeah, that's a good one.
Song of the Twigs. Shaken, blown bare, standing outstretched, and from each bud tip, resting stillness, the world's breath is this. Call of spring later, call of spring later.
They say wood warms you three times, when you collect it, when you chop it, and when you burn it.
Evergreen. Bringing sprigs of evergreen vegetation into our homes is a long-standing tradition at this time of year. They serve as symbols of life in winter's darkness, and that spring will return again through the cycling of the seasons.
Holly, for good luck and protection from lightning.
Mistletoe, for prosperity and fertility.
Ivy, for friendship and fidelity.
Yew, for resurrection and the afterlife.
A riddle. Flower of England, fruit of Spain, met together in a shower of rain, put in a bag tied with string. If you answer this riddle, I'll give you a ring. And the answer? A Christmas pudding.
In Ukraine, it's considered very good fortune to see a spider on Christmas Day. And at this time of year, they still make decorations that look like spiders' webs. The legend of the Christmas spider. Once there was a young family who loved Christmas as much as anyone ever did. For them, it was a time of magic and mystery in the depth of winter, a bright light shining in the darkest time of year. Each year, the young children enjoyed seeing all their neighbours bringing home pine trees, soon adorned with delightful decorations and twinkling lights. The family themselves were too poor to be able to buy their own Christmas tree, but one day the children found a pine cone that had fallen from one of the other trees. With help from their parents, they removed a seed and planted it in a little pot. within 2 or 3 years, the pine tree had grown big enough to take pride of place in their house at Christmas time. But the family was still too poor to afford any tinsel or baubles to decorate their own Christmas tree. They all went to bed excited, but sad that they couldn't do more to make their tree look more festive. Unbeknown to them, listening quietly in a hidden corner of the house, was a humble spider. As the family went to bed, the spider got to work. All night long she spun her silken threads around and between the branches of the pine tree. And when the children woke up on Christmas morning, the sun was just rising through the window and the spider's webs were glistening in the light like silver and gold on the tree. The most wonderful decorations they'd ever seen.
Hibernation.
Armchair rest. Inside caves and nests. Minding your own business. That's how it was once. In ruined places, the past lives on. Climbs knots of ivy footholds. Between the years, patterns form. I still do everything I used to love as a girl. Inside my room, TV and clocks track deep into longing. I list the changes, revisit once known places, an undisturbed, lost afternoon.
Winter is a time to cosy down, make the most of the extra hours of darkness, just being.
Why trees lose their leaves. In the very beginning, all the trees kept their green leaves the whole year round, in spring and summer, but also in autumn and winter as well. Down below on the bare ground, the mini-beasts and creepy crawlies suffered terribly in the harsh winter weather. As the first frosts began to bite, they cried out in the cold. Before long, their cries were heard by birds, swallows, swifts and house martins, preparing to fly to warmer climes for the winter months. They took pity on their tiny cousins and offered to carry them on their seasonal migrations. So the beetles and the bugs, the ants and the mites, the woodlice and wasps all clambered up onto the birds' heads and wings and tails. But there were so many of them that the birds couldn't take off, no matter how hard they flapped their wings. In the end, the birds had to ask the mini-beasts to hop off. Without fallen leaves for shelter, the mini-beasts began to shiver and shake. This time their cries for help were heard by a big brown bear. Taking pity, he offered to let them sleep with him during his hibernation. So the springtails and the spiders, the millipedes and centipedes, the bumblebees and butterflies all wriggled inside his thick fur coat and snuggled against his bear skin. With his body warmth, the little creatures began to wriggle and jiggle, causing the bear to feel itchy, and in the end he simply couldn't bear it any longer. He shook his furry body and the mini-beasts were flung far and wide. The little creatures crawled through the frosty forest, looking for any shelter. Eventually, they came to a clearing, where human beings were sat around a roaring fire, keeping warm and cooking their food. The people invited the mini-beasts to share their flames, making space by the fireside for the earwigs and earthworms, the harvestmen and hoverflies, the grasshoppers and leafhoppers. And at first, it felt good to be so cosy by the fire after the exposed elements. But soon, their delicate bodies began to feel too hot, dehydrating and cracking next to the fierce flames. Once more, they were back on the bare ground in the icy cold of midwinter. The mini-beasts started to weep and wail, but in response, there was a rustling amongst the leaves of the trees and a whisper of words. "We can help. We can help." And then, with a shudder, the leaves changed from green to gold to brown to down on the ground. and now there was a thick layer of fallen leaves for them to crawl inside and shelter from the cold. They stayed there for the rest of winter, not too cold and neither too hot, until in spring the trees grew new green leaves, and that's why, in the wintertime, the trees lose their leaves.
Community.
Good neighbours. Once there was a woman who lived utterly alone, far from any village or other houses, and she still had plenty of neighbours, though. Robins and wrens, badgers and blackbirds, foxes and hares, and they provided such delightful company that she, in turn, left them with fruit from her trees or seeds from her stores, scraps from her kitchen. Twice a year, a man from the nearest town came and made the long round trip to deliver a few essentials that she needed. Tea and sugar, salt and a big sack of oatmeal. The rest that she needed, she got from her garden or forage from the wild. A simple life, but it was enough. One winter, however, icy winds from the north brought a heavy snowstorm. Fat flakes fell from the dark sky for night after night. The fields soon lay under a thick white blanket, and her little cottage was completely snowbound, the doors and the windows all blocked. Soon her meagre food supplies ran out as well, without any chance of help being able to get through the snow. But her neighbours hadn't forgotten her. The birds brought berries and nuts which they dropped down the chimney. Foxes brought offerings of fresh meat. Hare provided sticks to keep her little fire burning. Badger rolled little balls of snow down the chimney to melt into fresh water. And so she survived the winter until early spring, when the blanket of white was replaced with a carpet of green. And when the delivery man eventually arrived at her house, he was surprised to find her all alive and well. "How on earth did you survive?" he asked. "Good neighbours," she said proudly.
What's your favourite winter activity?
Really, it has got to be still walking, preferably with a dog over fields.
Oh, get the board games out and the dominoes.
Well, I guess I'd probably light a fire, get out a good book, or a craft project.
Winter's a good time to take stock, make do and mend. Gathering in. The dark of the year when winter blows, old summer is past and the hours grind slow. A lean, limp light and a cold that bites. Survival shifts, and indoors we retire. On a fragile loom, our time is spun. So what if a word of complaint is uttered? Each morning, in ritual of porridge, hot toast, we brace the grey day in layered wool clothes. We dream up a feasting, a gathering of souls, a room full of voices, a glowing of smiles, and side by side, a listening tribe we become. Flames torch the old rites, and we call back the sun. We tell the old stories, sing season's old songs, to keep us all going and winter us well.
What do you most look forward to in winter?
I think more or less playing with youngsters outside, really. Just throwing the snowballs and knocking them over in the... playing angels in the snow and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just getting out to play with the children.
Christmas!
Winter is a time to sparkle with festivities.
Darkness.
A gentle hand of wind at my back
pushes days along. Pushes days along.
The direction of travel.
No more battling.
Under the stars.
orange glow of streets, orange glow of streets.
A distant car speeds into dark.
Extended shadows long, extended shadows long.
My coat like a sail.
The world is night, the world is night.
At home, slowing down. Take your time,
take your time.
Looking forward.
Winter will ask you what you did over the summer.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne?
The month of January takes its name from the Roman god Janus, the gatekeeper of the year. He is often depicted with two faces, one looking backwards and one looking forwards towards the weeks and the months ahead. Traditionally, the doors of houses are opened at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve to let the old year out and welcome the new year in.
Wassail.
We wassail the trees that they may bear, many an apple, many a pear. For more or less fruit they will bring, as we give to them in our wassailing.
And it's your wassail, and it's our wassail, and a joy be to you for a jolly wassail.
Wassail!
The Apple Tree Man. Once there was an old farmer with two grown-up sons, as different as apples and pears. The oldest was cheerful and charming, whereas his younger brother was miserable and mean. But when their father died, it was the youngest son who inherited the farm, and the eldest had to beg for a place to live. Well, you can have the old shed on the hill and any animals that are left inside, as well as the old orchard. But you must pay me a rent, sixpence, every year on Twelfth Night. When the older brother went to the shed, he saw that it was in a terrible state. Inside, he found a donkey with a stiff leg and an ox with a bent back. Outside, the trees in the orchard were also looking worse for wear. And feeling dejected, the eldest son went wandering into the woods until he met an old woman outside her cabin. After listening to his story, she taught him how to forage for healing plants to make medicine for his sick animals. And so every day he made a poultice to go onto the donkey's leg and the back of the ox, and slowly their health returned. The older brother shoveled their manure onto the roots of the old apple trees, and soon they were thriving too. By autumn, the branches were burgeoning with apples. Some he ate, but most he turned into cider. The rest of the year went merrily by until early January, when there was a sudden knock at the door. There was his younger brother, with a reminder about the rent. Well, the eldest son had no money to pay. "Well," said his brother, "I've heard rumours that the animals on this farm have the power of speech on Twelfth Night, and they might speak of hidden, buried treasure. So, if you let me listen to the animals tonight, I'll let you off the rent, just for this year." The eldest son agreed, and then he went inside to the cider barrel, but sadly, there was only half a cup left. But then he remembered his father's midwinter tradition, to wish good health to the orchard. Outside, he stood in front of the oldest apple tree and poured his cup of cider onto its roots. Suddenly, the branches turned into arms and a face appeared in the bark. There was the apple tree man.
Thank you. I do love a drop of my own juice. Well, listen to me. Why don't you dig underneath my left root and don't tell your brother about whatever you might find?
The older brother went inside, found a spade, and then gently dug beneath the tree's roots. Sure enough, he found a box of treasure, which he hid inside the shed. And that night the younger brother came to listen to the animals. Well, he heard the two creatures speaking about how good their health was and how well the orchard was doing. But they didn't speak about buried treasure, because it wasn't buried anymore.
A song to start the year. Each apple thanked, another song from us. Each tree blessed, another song from us. Better a prayer than a wish. Better a blessing than a request. Better a thanks than a thirst. Better a warmth than a loss. Better a rest than a rot. Better a shadow than a drought. Better a fire than a harm. Better a sleep than a starve. Better seasons and trust. A drink to your health. Another song from us. Another song from us.
A blessing. Warm words on a cold evening. A full moon on a dark night. A steady heartbeat in the stillness. And an easy road all the way to your door.
This recording was embellished with the generous spoken word contributions of local people, as well as the field recordings from contributors to the freesound.org website. For a full list of credits, please visit www.picnicintheparks.org.uk.